Welcome to Spirits on Spirits, a podcast where we mix ghost stories with a little liquid courage. I'm Aiden.
And I'm Nate.
And together we'll dive into the eerie, the unexplained, and the downright terrifying, all while enjoying a drink or two. Each episode we'll explore haunted places, ghostly encounters, and paranormal mysteries, pairing them with the perfect cocktail to keep our nerves steady. So grab a glass, turn down the lights, and join us as we sip, shiver, and swap some spine-chilling stories. Because here at Spirits on Spirits, the only thing stronger than the ghosts are our drinks.
What is up, Polter Pack? Another episode of Spirits on Spirits.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. Aiden, how we doing today?
Doing fantastic. We are, I'll get a little bit into the episode, but we're staying a little bit local this week.
Yeah, not as local as Salem, but we're staying a little local. We are shipping out to Boston.
Hey-o.
Yeah, so we are doing Boston, Massachusetts, Beantown.
We're parking the car.
Parking the ghost car. Oh, man. No, yeah, we were kind of flipping through the list, and we're like, dude, why have we not done Boston? We're like, dude, I don't know.
So then it's right down the street.
Dude, let's might do as well. Boston. Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, for those of you that don't know, Salem is probably about 20 to 30 minutes outside of Boston, just north of it, on the North Shore. But, so, you know, we are obviously Salem born and raised, but we have spent a lot of time in Boston, you know, at every point in our life. So, you know, this is definitely a city that holds a special place in both of our hearts. I mean, I consider myself a Bostonian, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anybody born in the greater Boston area, I think, does.
Which we are. So, yeah, definitely. Like, I was at the Red Sox game on Monday. Like, you know, just easy train ride into the city, all that good stuff. So, yeah, we are, like we said, shipping out to Boston.
And just a fair warning, there's going to be a lot of Boston accent in this one.
Is there?
From me, at least.
So, do you have a Boston accent, or do you think you have a Boston accent?
I don't consider myself as someone who has a Boston accent.
So, I don't either, unless I'm in drive-thrus. For whatever reason, whenever I'm in a drive-thru, I get a Boston accent.
Hi, can I get a number four?
Yeah, just like, I forget, like, I don't know, it just comes out like, I don't even know, I don't even think I could do it on the spot. But I remember I was at the drive-thru with my dad, and we were at Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, Dunkies.
We were at Dunkies, and I was like, hey, like, can I get a medium iced coffee and, like, a coffee cake muffin? And he was like, what the fuck is that? He was like, where did that accent come
from? Where did that come from, kid?
And I was like, I don't know. I just, and then I was like, I was in line at Bill and Bob's, which is a food place in Salem, with Hannah, and same thing. And she was like, where the fuck did that come from?
I feel like it does come out on certain words.
Yep.
I also say wicked a lot, which is a very Boston thing.
Yep, I say wicked a lot. And I will say, and this is probably the most Boston, is if I am at a Boston sporting event, like primarily like most recently Bruins and Red Sox, if I yell anything, it comes out in a Boston accent by accident.
Can you give us an example?
I don't. That's the thing, is like it just comes at like,
get him, tear his head off.
I didn't think that. Like, I don't know. Just I think when I get loud, I get a Boston accent, because both of those times are just times where I get loud.
I mean, I will say the Boston accent is a very aggressive accent.
Yes,
I feel like it's like Russian, like or German. If you like really yell, I feel like it comes out more.
Yeah. So cool. All right. Well, what are we sipping on, Aiden?
So this week we're sipping on the Ward 8. When I looked up signature cocktails of Boston, it was like the number one thing on every single list. Yeah.
Interesting.
Which is funny because I feel like I haven't heard
about
it.
Never heard of it. I will say, though, there is an excellent restaurant / bar in Boston called Ward 8. And I've been to it a decent amount. It's over like on the edge of the North End, like by the Garden. It's really good. So maybe there's some influence there or something like that. I don't know.
I would imagine so.
Yeah. So what does the Ward 8 consist of?
So The recipe that I found is 2 ounces of whiskey, half an ounce each of orange juice and lemon juice, and Ooh. Then a teaspoon of grenadine with maraschino cherry garnish.
Interesting. If you, so you'll see it in the picture on Instagram, but it has this very like, the color combo that those all created is this very like, I don't know. What, yeah, like a peach color. Very cool vibe. Very.
I'm excited to dig in.
Nice. All right. Well, let's cheers and get to it, there, brother.
Cheerio.
Ooh, the alternative's good.
Very fruity.
Yeah, like
you go, really you almost fruity. Can't taste the whiskey at all.
The orange juice, I think, is coming across a lot too.
It smells very whiskey-ish, but it doesn't taste whiskey-ish at all.
Nice. Very cool.
You know what it kind of tastes like to me?
And
what? I have the weirdest taste buds. Everyone always tells me that, like, the comparisons that I make to things, they're like, "What? In what fucking world is that true?" But for some reason, to me, this one tastes like Smarties, the candy. Ooh.
You know what? I get that a little bit.
Yeah.
Like,
the aftertaste of it is very Smarty.
Okay. Which Smarty flavor?
They're all the same. I mean, they're not, are but they, like they are.
They all taste the same.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like the orange ones have a little bit of a different flavor.
I'm feeling like the pink purple, like
ooh, the
blue
pink purple ones. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I will get into my story for the week. So the place that I am taking us to is Fort Warren.
Fort Warren.
Yep.
Huh. Never heard of it.
I hadn't either. I feel like there's a lot in Boston that we
have. No,
haven't.
I know.
The cartel.
We're
the
bad
locations.
Bostonians.
Like, we hear about the big stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Fort Warren, never heard of it.
Never heard of it.
It's on George's Island.
Okay.
Which
is that the, like, one with the power plant now with all the eggs on it?
I'm not sure, but okay. It's at the entrance of Boston Harbor.
Got you.
So the fort was constructed in the mid-1800s, and it served as a crucial defense, a Civil War prison, and now it's a historic site that's run by the Boston Harbor Islands National and State Park System.
Oh.
On top of the rich military history, it also harbors one of... one of New England's most famous ghost legends, which would be the Lady in Black.
Ooh, wait. Lady in Black?
Dude, we've had so many ladies in white.
So many ladies in white.
And finally we've got a Lady in Black.
Lady in Black. Wow. So, tell me about it. Tell me more. I'm intrigued.
So, I'll start off with the fort. So, colonial leaders understood the strategic importance of securing the harbor as early as the 1600s, but it wasn't until the 1800s, during a time of increased vulnerability because of the War of 1812 and such,
sure,
that the U.S. federal government actually began investing in the coastal defenses.
Got you.
So in the wake of the War of 1812, Congress authorized the construction of a bunch of fortifications. It was known as the Third System of Coastal Defense.
Gotcha.
And among the like those fortifications was Fort Warren, which was named after Dr. Joseph Warren.
Huh.
Have you heard that name before?
No.
So he's actually a big deal. He was a Revolutionary War hero.
Whoa.
He died during the Battle of Bunker Hill, but I think what you would appreciate him the most for is he was the guy who enlisted Paul Revere and William Dawes to do the Midnight Ride.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
He was like, you guys got to hop on these ponies here and swing some lanterns around.
He was also really young when he died. He was only 34.
Oh, geez.
Which is
that's crazy.
Wild.
Battle of Bunker Hill. That was the don't shoot until you see the whites of their eyes, right?
Probably.
I think that's where that line first originated because they didn't have that much ammo, I believe.
Oh,
so
yeah,
so they
that,
needed
for sure.
to wait till they were close.
Yeah, because
so they didn't waste any bullets.
Because it was in 1775, so like kind of at the beginning of
yeah.
the war. So, yeah, probably. I think it was before Congress, or the, what was it called? the Continental Congress had like officially declared independence or like even really voted on it or like brought it up at all.
So gotcha.
It was at those beginning stages of the war. The fort took almost 30 years to fully construct, which I found wild. Like, I mean,
that's
obviously
really long.
Granted, it was the 1800s.
Yeah, so but like, that's still really long. You're like, oh crap, we have this war that we need this fort for right now. You can have it in 30 years.
So they actually started construction in 1833. So it was a little bit late, but and then
so what they thought like the War of 1812.
Well, the War of 1812 like opened their eyes to
gotcha. They're like, oh geez, the Habas aren't safe.
We got to get the Habas secure.
Any Habas that need securing,
dude? We threw the T in the Haba. Now we've got to secure the Haba.
Oh jeez.
It's all right. We can make these jokes. We're from Boston.
Yeah.
but yeah, construction began in 1833, and then it ended in 1861, which was convenient because it was just in time for the Civil War.
Oh, there you go.
So it originally mounted over 200 guns and had super thick walls that were designed to resist bombardment. And
Bombardment.
The fort never saw active combat, but it played...
Bro, how many forts actually see active combat? So many of these forts we've covered and stuff like that are like, wasn't actually used in the war. And you're like, why? Like, crazy.
I feel like American forts are like more just like a scare tactic.
I guess.
But like European forts were like,
remember?
Huge.
No, for sure. Combat. But like when all the forts we've covered, like I don't think we've covered any that have seen active combat. Maybe that's because like the ghosts just know that they want to hang out at the chill ones.
I also kind of feel like they're not. I also kind of feel like they're not like. Like it's not worth your time to go take a fort.
Maybe, I guess. I don't know. Like the one down just in Charleston that I covered. Well, that's. It's fair. Just, yeah, we built this really big, really powerful thing right here. All right, so you're telling me if we go 200 yards that way, we don't need to deal with the fort. Damn it, they got us.
It has always kind of blown my mind that people didn't, silly people didn't think of that.
Just going around
forts. Just going around it. Meet the people in the field. But it played a critical role during the Civil War as a Union prison for Confederate soldiers.
Oh, wow.
As well as government officials and suspected sympathizers.
Oh, geez.
It housed some notable prisoners, including Confederate Vice President Alexander Stevens, who was imprisoned there for 5 months, as well as Confederate diplomats James Mason and John Slidell.
Whoa.
And other high-ranking officers.
Gotcha.
Like, contrary to what I would have thought, prisoners were actually generally treated pretty humanely compared to the conditions in other... Well, I guess it's the North.
Sure.
And we're great. So, why wouldn't we have good conditions? Officers were allowed books, writing materials, and could even exercise in designated areas. So, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's actually, like, really surprising.
Yeah. I usually think of, like, rats.
Yeah, especially with, like, old wartime POWs.
Yeah. Civil
like,
War.
Yeah.
It's, like, rats and, like, you're eating just garbage.
Mm-hmm.
No entertainment whatsoever.
No, that sounds terrible.
So, now we'll get into the hauntings of this place.
Oh, yeah. I like me some hauntings.
So, the legendary tale of the Lady in Black.
Yeah, because I think, like, as of right now, I'm like, there shouldn't be a woman there. Well, okay.
I'll get into
Let
the legend around
that.
The woman
like,
being
like, the woman in black, like, that feels out of place based on the history.
Yeah. So, there is a very cool reason why the Lady in Black is there.
Nice.
So according to the lore, so this isn't like proven fact, but according to the lore, during the Civil War, a young Southern woman named Melanie Lanier disguised herself as a man and traveled from Georgia to Fort Warren in an attempt to rescue her husband, who was a Confederate officer imprisoned there.
Whoa.
She managed to get all the way to George's Island by boat and infiltrated the prison in disguise.
Whoa.
But it was discovered that she was trying to help them escape. And then, in the confusion, Melanie accidentally killed her own husband while trying to shoot a guard.
Oh.
She was then captured, tried as a spy, and was sentenced to hang, which was a rare punishment for a woman.
Yeah. So, a couple things to unpack there.
Honestly, like, you know, sides of the war aside, pretty badass. Pretty cool.
I mean, so, I guess I'm confused why she was, like, why they tried her as a spy. I guess
probably the disguise. They were like, oh, you're in a costume?
Spy.
Spy.
But I guess my thought was, like, if she was a Southerner, then she wasn't pretending to be something she wasn't, other than just a man.
Well, she went in disguised.
Yeah, as a man.
Like, she, like,
as a Southerner. Oh, did she pretend to be, like, a Northerner?
I mean, that's what I was picturing. Because, like, how else would you get in there?
I don't know.
Like, what's the point in dressing? You could go in as a woman if you're going to sneak.
That's fair. She was like, they're like, who are you? And she's just like, someone who hates slavery. And they're like, all right, you're a Northerner. Come on.
Oh, us too. Come on in. Before her execution, she requested a woman's dress, but none could be found.
Oh.
So.
That's a bummer.
Instead, she was hanged in makeshift garments of warning. Of mourning.
Oh, whoa.
So it was a black robe that was fashioned from a blanket.
Whoa.
Legend.
Hence the lady in black.
Hence the lady in black. Legend has it that her restless spirit can still be found at Fort Warren, and she has been seen and coined the Lady in Black, haunting the dark corridors and ramparts.
Whoa.
So over the years, park rangers, visitors, and paranormal investigators have all reported weird experiences at the fort, like phantom footsteps, disembodied voices, cold spots, and even, like, full-bodied apparitions of the woman in black.
That's crazy.
But no actual historical documentation, like, is around to confirm the story of Melanie.
Sure.
But it still remains one of the most, like...
I believe it.
I do, too. Yeah.
I mean, it seems like a really complex story. Like, so that'd be a hard one or a weird one to make up, I feel like.
Yeah.
But that's definitely, like... a wild story.
That's, I think, wild. It's sick.
Yeah.
That's super cool.
I mean, not sick that it was a Southerner or a Confederate person, and not sick that someone got hung, and not sick that she shot her husband by accident. How do you shoot your husband by accident?
I don't know. But why isn't he seen?
I don't know. He's probably pissed. He probably doesn't want to be near her.
Yeah, she's, like, walking around the corridors, and he's just, like, in the corner, like, get the fuck away from me.
Like, come on, lady, you shot me by accident? Like, that must have been, like, she had a gun behind him, and then he, like, stumbled in front of her by accident.
Yeah.
She definitely, like, blew his brains out by accident.
Oh, jeez.
Right? That's what I'm getting the image,
I mean,
of.
Musket ball, probably pretty close quarters.
Yeah. Like, and she didn't, like, shoot him in the chest by accident. She, like, was raising the gun up and went, bah!
Yeah. That's a tough
one. Yeah, that's a tough one.
But probably pretty quick, so.
Yeah, hopefully, for his sake.
Yeah.
And then she was like, oh, fuck.
Can you imagine going to all that trouble? Like, you get dressed up, you take a boat.
Yep.
Out to the island. You've fooled everybody. You convince the Union soldiers that are at this fort. Oh, like, I'm just coming in.
That's a man.
I'm a normal dude.
Yep.
And then you're, like, about to escape. And you're like, fuck, I just got to kill this one guy in order to get out of here. And your dumbass husband just accidentally steps in your way.
Bro, could you imagine if he was, like, enjoying himself at the prison? Like, it sounds like conditions were kind of good. He was like,
I had my books.
He had his books.
I got to exercise.
Yeah, he was like, I'm coming around to this northern philosophy and ethics. He was like, you know what? Life here is not pretty bad. And
I then had meanwhile, friends.
Some just man comes up to you and goes,
I'm your wife. Get out of here.
I'm your wife.
It's me, Melanie.
We gotta go. He's like, are you sure, though? Like, I don't really want to go back down there. They've told me about kind of, like, things. It sounds like we're not doing awesome things down there. Are we sure we have to go back? She's like, yes, right now. And he's like, all right, fine, I guess.
Don't get in my way. Yeah. I will shoot you.
He's like, oh, geez, okay.
And Gar goes, if I must.
The guard goes like, hey, what are you guys doing that? Just bang. She's like, oh, fuck. He's like, come on. His last dying thought must have been, come on. Oh, man.
It wasn't even that bad here.
Yeah. We got lobsters. We're in Boston Harbor. Fresh seafood. All this stuff.
Clam chowder.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's hilarious.
So while the Lady in Black is the most famous ghost at Fort Warren, it's home to a host of other paranormal claims. So staff and visitors have both reported hearing voices echoing around the granite corridors, doors slamming without explanation, and the feeling of being watched.
Ooh.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
Being watched in a fort, like in a like stone. I don't know why the idea of stone makes it creepier to me.
Yeah. Just holds more energy.
It's like a castle. Like it's like,
yeah.
I don't know.
I would definitely go check this place out at night sometime.
No, you wouldn't.
No, I would.
There's no way to escape because it's on an island.
Yeah, I would do it though. If we had a, I mean, actually, I don't think we could do this logistically. But I was thinking from it like a jet. Like I would genuinely do this.
All right, if we find a way to do it, I'm going to hold you to that.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm gonna replay this clip.
Yeah.
When you're like, oh, but I no, don't there's
what
do it.
Like I think what type of entities? What type of entities are at a place? Definitely affects me, and this seems like yeah, obviously very sad, but it's the demonic, it's the evil. That is the stuff that really freaks me out. And this doesn't strike me as that kind of energy.
Yeah, that's fair.
So.
Yeah. Some people have reported hearing muffled conversations in rooms that turned out to be empty. And also hearing the sounds of chains rattling. Particularly notorious is the dungeon area, which, duh. Like, no shit.
Duh.
It's. What?
Just thinking of it like Family Feud style, where it's like, we surveyed 100 strangers. What area is most haunted? And it's like,
Dungeon Steve.
That is correct. Oh, man.
It like comes up as like, just, oh, hell nah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So it's often described as unnaturally cold and heavy with an oppressive atmosphere. Paranormal professionals, like enthusiasts, I don't know why I said professionals. I wrote it as enthusiasts,
oh,
but
man.
I decided to spice things up a little bit. Consider it a hot spot of spiritual energy. Some ghost hunters claim to have captured EVPs, which is electronic voice phenomena, photographs of orbs, or unexplained shadows in areas that are believed to be haunted. But from a skeptical side, from my side, it's like, no shit, the acoustics in there are going to not be great.
Sure.
So something from another room can come off as yeah. like...
And you're like, huh, a stone fort from the 1800s gets cold at night.
Yeah, exactly. Especially the dungeon, which is yeah. probably the basement,
yes.
which... Heat rises,
like
so
it's probably
the coldest
always
part.
Just kind of damp and yeah. cold and all that. Yeah,
yeah.
That.
Yeah. And you're on an island?
Yes. In the harbor.
In the harbor. In the
yeah.
harbor.
Yeah.
You're like, no, yeah. Duh. Oh, so man. That is Fort Warren.
Very cool. What's your take? Haunted or nah?
I'm going to say haunted, not because I necessarily think it's haunted, but because I want it to be haunted, because I think the story of the Lady in Black is super cool.
Nice.
What about you?
Yeah. Let's go haunted.
It's haunted, isn't it?
It's haunted, eh? Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, that story is like a crazy one that definitely leaves people involved sad. Like, she was definitely sad. Because she also got hung. Like, we think about her shooting her husband. Then she died because of it.
Yeah.
It's like, you could have just stayed home. You probably would have got sent home in a couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah. You would have lived happily ever after with your husband.
Yes.
He was living it up in a pretty nice prison.
Yes. And then you shot him. And then you got hung in a potato sack.
A black potato sack.
Yeah.
A black sack.
Black spud sack.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't love it. But, all right. You want to chug? And then we'll reboot. And then we'll hit my location.
We'll reboot and rally.
Reboot and rally. All right. Chug, 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 chug. Boom, boom.
Oh.
All right. We'll see you on the other side. Peace. We're back.
We are back.
Back in Boston.
We're in Boston, kid.
Your cousin
from Boston.
Those commercials get me every
so
time.
So good. Man. And they're accurate.
So accurate. So, all right. I picked an interesting one.
You picked an interesting one.
I did one. I picked an interesting one. Reason it's interesting because, so, it's the Omni Pocket House. Have you heard of the Omni Pocket House? Or as people from not Boston call it, the Omni Parker House?
I have not.
So, it's a hotel in Boston. Omni owns it now, but it was called the Parker House Hotel when it was built in 1855.
That all tracks.
Yep, it tracks. It was built in 1855 to be a very luxurious, kind of extravagant hotel in downtown Boston. Do you know where it is? It's like right next to the State House and that kind of like the theater district area, like where the those theaters are and stuff like that.
Okay.
Like, yeah. In downtown.
Yeah, I know.
It's a cool hotel. Like, it was definitely really nice. So it was a fun staying there. But yeah, built in 1855. Some interesting tidbits before I get into the hauntedness of it. And some of this applies to the hauntedness, but some of it does not. The things that do not is it is actually where the Boston cream pie was invented. Yep. What are you smirking about over there?
I'm just taking a sip of my drink.
Yeah. Boston
cream pie.
Yep, Boston cream pie. And then also the Parker House roll. Now, Parker House roll, I had to look this up. You've definitely had them before. I didn't know what they were. It's like, you know the dinner rolls that are like smaller, that are kind of like folded in the middle. Like, it's like the small dinner rolls that are like, I'll show you a picture.
Yeah. Yeah, I have not heard of it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You've had those before.
100%.
Everyone's had, well, at least in this area, everyone's had those. But
those are common to,
yeah. They were, both of those were invented at the hotel.
Pretty by the rich chef. History there.
Yeah, right?
Their baker should be well compensated.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing about the Parker House roll, I didn't read about the Boston cream pie because I was afraid to Google that. didn't know what was going to come up.
Yeah. That's probably.
But the Parker House roll, legend has it that a baker was like angry and like threw the rolls in the oven and then took him out, and they were just like the whatever he was trying to bake didn't come out the way he wanted, so he was like, fuck this, and just threw him in the oven. Then they came out like that, and then everyone was like, oh, these are actually pretty good. These are pretty good bread rolls.
I feel like a lot of popular foods are accidents.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Pretty cool. So, couple other interesting tidbits. Charles Dickens stayed there. He'll come up a little bit more later. Do you know Charles Dickens?
I sure do.
What? You keep smirking. Keep smirking over there.
Dude, I'm
first
just...
First it was the Boston cream pie, and then it was Charles Dickens. I don't know. I think someone's got a dirty mind. Ralph Waldo Emerson.
Yeah.
Henry Wadsworth Longfellow.
Sure.
And then JFK.
Ah, that's cool.
JFK one's actually really cool because he announced his congressional run from the restaurant in the hotel. And then he... Sorry, let me rephrase that. I got things mixed up. He, like, announced that from the hotel, but then he also proposed to Jackie in the restaurant there.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, right? Isn't that cool?
Super cool.
He has a room. We stayed across from, I don't think it was his room, but I think it was his brother's room, like Ted Kennedy's room.
Yeah.
He had a room that he always would stay in when he came to the State House. So we, like, the room I stayed in was right across from, like, Ted Kennedy's room, and they had, like, a plaque on the wall and stuff like that. So
it's probably a lot.
Yeah.
Probably stayed there a lot.
Probably. In between, was he the one with things?
He had like medical stuff.
That was not what I was going for. Pretty sure he was the one who was in the car with the girl, and then she died. Remember, like the car like got driven into the water.
Yeah,
that was him, right?
Yeah, I think it was.
I think that was too. I forget. Like on the Vin, no. Where's their summer house? On the Cape, right?
Might be Nantucket.
No, it's definitely not Nantucket.
Or did it start with an F?
Maybe.
I don't know. Whatever.
I don't know either. But they
down there somewhere.
They have a summer house on
that.
Dude,
the Kennedys
part.
Are... We should do a whole history on the Kennedys one episode. Because they've got a crazy history.
Yeah, they absolutely...
Like, they've got to be cursed somehow.
They really do. So... All right, speaking of curses and energy that sticks around, let's get into some of the haunted aspects of the hotel. So our first ghost on the ghost lineup is the ghost of Harvey D. Parker. He actually died in 1884 before the hotel was officially opened, and the staff still sees him around to this day. He is dressed in like 19th century clothes, and kind of just roams the hotel. They say specifically around the 10th floor, especially around rooms, 10, 12 and 1018. And he is said to kind of have this like vibe of like kind of this frantic, like, you know, like almost like a checking in on guests type thing. Like he's kind of like frantically going back and forth, like trying to just everyone that like interacts or sees him is like, oh yeah, he's like just seeing if all the guests are okay.
That's nice of him.
Yeah. So to
sounds exhausting, but
yes. The one thing that he does that potentially might not be cool.
Okay. Yeah. I figured this was coming somewhere.
Of the boundaries, is that he'll just kind of appear by your bedside.
Why are hotel ghosts so weird? They're always so fucking weird. Like, there's always something.
Yeah.
They can be like the cool ghost. And then all of a sudden it's like, but he watches you shower. It's like,
I don't think he does that. But like, he definitely is taking that like level of service to the next level.
Yeah. Invasive service.
Yes.
Sure.
Invasive service. You just wake up. And it's a ghost from the 19th century going, can I get you anything? You're like, geez, no, you can't. Okay.
Did you pack your cat in the packing lot? Make sure it doesn't get towed.
Oh, man. So, yeah, that's definitely an interesting one. And then, you know, some of the even, like, all right. Let me just get the boring ones out of the way. Like, you know, the stereotypical... What do you think are the stereotypical boring haunted things that happen here?
Orbs.
No orbs.
Doors.
No doors.
Footsteps.
No.
Cold spots.
Cold spots. That was the number one.
Yeah.
That was the number one. Cold spots. Lights have been seen to flicker on and off.
I don't even know if that'll be...
I don't know if that registered. I made like a click, click sound. I pretended to be a light switch. and then apparitions or fleeing shadows down the hallways. This hotel, because of where it's built, it's like really windy. Like when I got stayed there, it was like a lot of like, you know when you get off the elevator and it's one of those hotels where you got to make like six different turns to get to your room?
Yeah.
It was one of those hotels. So really long hallways, like definitely that hotel, like it's the same thing. You know where it used to happen to me all the time was in my college dorm where it was like long ass hallway. Every room looks the same. You almost get like disoriented walking down the hallway and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So people see like apparitions or fleeing shadows that like will kind of turn the corner. And then when you turn the corner, they're gone.
Yeah.
So and then items moving on their own. Those are like the main kind of like, you know, boring, stereotypical haunted things.
Yeah, Parker was a lot more fun.
Yes, he was. And I think I got into him first. My notes were kind of mixed up. I wish I did all the boring stuff, and then we got into Paca and like some of the other stuff. But the second on our cool list of things is the elevator.
Okay. Well, dude, okay, that's another thing that I've noticed a lot of in our research, specifically my research. I feel like I almost every episode talk about an elevator.
Lots of elevators. Hot take. Elevators just have a lot of electrical components.
I am starting to feel that way. Because it's getting a little bit... Like it's just a little too consistent.
So, yes. But I will say about this one that I think is kind of interesting is that this elevator consistently always stops on the third floor. If no one's hit the button, no one's waiting for it, it just will go third floor, bing, and then just open up there.
Devil's advocate.
Yeah.
So my elevator in my apartment building,
yeah,
if no one's in it,
yeah,
it will default to coming back down to the first floor.
Yeah.
Is it possible that it just fucked up a little bit, and instead of going to the first floor like it's supposed to, it defaults to the third floor by accident?
Okay. Maybe, but I think I'll push it a little bit more because, like, if you're riding in the elevator, it will just go to the third floor and then just open on its own without, like, you...
So, like, you get in the elevator on the first floor.
Yes.
You click...
Six. Yes.
It stops on the third floor no matter what?
Yes. Not every time, but, like, happens enough where it's something that's reported.
Yeah, I don't know.
The other thing, too, so when I stayed there, we hit the button for the elevator and that it just like wouldn't come. Like the elevator like just didn't come.
I can explain that.
What?
It's a malfunction.
Yeah. I don't know.
The elevator was fucked up.
I don't know. It threw me off a little bit.
So what you're telling me is this elevator has a history, a firsthand history of having problems.
Hold on, because you know what? I will let me like tell you a little bit more because our second kind of specific haunt ties into this a little bit. So room 303, also known as the cursed room, is one of the more kind of infamous things with this hotel. So in the early 1900s, in room 303, someone committed suicide. We don't know who, we don't know why, we don't really know much about it, but we know they committed suicide. And then just ever since then, guests have complained about weird smells, running water, and then an unsettling laughter coming from the room.
Don't love that.
No. Don't love that at all.
Unsettling laughter.
Yep.
Like, imitate it.
I don't, like, what an unsettling laughter
yeah,
is?
Yeah, give me an unsettling laugh.
I mean, like,
yeah, I'd be freaked out.
Right?
Yep.
I'd be freaked the fuck out, dude. I'd be freaked the fuck out.
I'd be pretty freaked out if I heard that.
I'd
be like, why is Nate in my room?
It's Especially, like, if you know the history of, like, someone committed suicide and then you just hear laughter coming from the room.
And Charles Parker just comes in and he's like, are you guys okay? Is everything okay in here?
You're like, no, actually, I hear laughter. But you
oh, that's just Jerry. He's weird. Don't worry about him. He's harmless.
No, but it's actually the reports and the complaints got so kind of adamant and common that they actually turned the room into a storage closet.
Oh.
Yeah. So that you can't, like, no one stays in that room anymore.
Something that I have a problem with about places like this.
Yeah.
They never lean into it.
So, yes and no, but my thought is, like, that laughter, something must have been so weird and off about this, because, like, you know, hotels are a business. They're trying to make as much money as possible. They wouldn't close a room down if they couldn't make, if they could make money off of it.
I can tell you right now they could make money off of it because someone like me would happily,
yeah,
would specifically request a room like that.
I guess. They could call it like, they should rebrand it and call it like the Pitbull Room. Because doesn't he call himself like Mr. 303? Mr. Worldwide?
Yeah.
Isn't 303 Miami's zip code?
I think 303 is his, well, it's their area code.
Yeah,
Yeah, I think it is what he calls himself.
They should just call it the Pitbull Room.
Mr. Worldwide.
They'll be like, the unsettling laughter is not the person that committed suicide. It's actually Pitbull.
Dude, I would stay in that room 100%.
If it was haunted by Pitbull.
I would love that. Dude, free concerts every night? That would be sick.
Bro. That completely took me down like a weird train of thought of like, could you imagine Pitbull as a therapist? You're like just depressed. He's like, everyone goes through tough times. I don't even know the rest of the words to that song. Now, another interesting tidbit is, no, it's not funny. I'm just, you looking at me in a weird way. I don't know.
Okay, that time, I'll give you the first two times. This time, I was just looking at you.
So, there's a mirror. There's a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Just.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, cool. You gotta give me. You're on the podcast.
Dude, there's. I have a mirror.
Yeah,
I have three mirrors in his room.
You don't have a haunted mirror, dude.
You didn't say it was a haunted mirror. You said there was a.
Why the fuck would I be bringing it up?
If you just said there's a mirror.
If it wasn't haunted, why would I be bringing it up?
So, explain that.
There's
a haunted mirror.
So in.
Because then I'd be like, whoa.
So in the 1860s, Charles Dickens lived in the hotel.
Like permanently?
For a couple months.
Oh, wow.
While he was doing his American tour. And he used a mirror to rehearse A Christmas Carol in. And that mirror is still in the hotel. And people say to see shadowy like reflections and images in the mirror.
Are they seeing good old Dickie himself?
I don't know. But it's in the Dickens mirror. The Dickens
Chucky
mirror.
Dick?
Chucky Dick mirror. The Chunky Dick. Nope, not the Chunky Dick.
They should hire us as marketing people because we would give everything great names.
Absolutely.
We would market it in the best way possible. Yeah. Come take a look at the Chucky Dick mirror.
See if you can see things.
Can you see Chucky Dick?
Can you see Chucky Dick? Yeah, I thought that was kind of a cool one that like he rehearsed I realized he wrote it, but I didn't realize he performed it.
Yeah. Who did he play in it?
I don't know.
Scrooge?
Probably, right?
Yeah, I mean,
it'd be pretty funny if he, like...
an older guy, so...
pretended to be the, like, Ghost of Christmas Past and all the chains and stuff like that. And he was, like, just standing in the mirror of chains. What if he played all the parts? What if it was a one-man show? He was just, like... he pretended to be Tiny Tim, too, and he's like, oh, I can't feel my legs, man.
That would be great.
And then he would just turn and put the Scrooge hat on. He's like, no one cares.
No, there's probably like a narrator, right? There's a narrator in Christmas Carol.
Maybe.
He was probably the narrator.
So why would he need to rehearse it, then?
You have to rehearse, though. but monologues and shit.
I don't know. He could have just sat there with the script or the book that he wrote.
I don't know, man.
I don't know. Do you think he rehearsed naked? So, like, anytime you see him, he just is naked in the mirror with a top hat on?
You're seeing Chucky Dick's Chucky Dick.
Yeah. Again, they really should, yeah, they should hire us. Another couple of, like, so one more haunted thing. That a former hotel employee told the Boston Globe, which, for those of you that don't know, is the paper for Boston.
The newspaper.
Was that a... So, this is like a game of telephone. So, a female guest told a female worker, who then told a employee of the Boston Globe, that she saw a man in a, like, Victorian-like style trench coat just at the end of her bed. And then when she screamed, he disappeared. So, I don't know his story, but something tells me it's a weird one.
I don't like ghosts in trench coats.
No,
it's a weird choice.
Come on, like,
to die in, you know?
Yeah, like, you had to wear a trench coat a lot
to die in it.
Dude, I saw a guy in a trench coat in the grocery store yesterday.
Get out of there. No, immediately get out of there.
He was fucking, I was, like, walking down the aisles. This guy comes in a trench coat, like, Indiana Jones style hat, but it was, like, not, like... Like, it was kind of like, you know the Pharrell hat? The hat that, like, Pharrell wears that's, like, kind of, like, round on the top? He was wearing that in, like, a big trench coat, like, zipped up. Like, it was, like, fully, like, or, like, buttoned up. So, like, it wasn't open. It wasn't an open trench coat.
Was it raining or something, at least?
No, it wasn't.
Then that's weird.
It wasn't. And then I saw he was walking really quickly to the pet food aisle.
Nope. I am leaving immediately.
Had, like, all the, like, cans of cat food on the wall.
He probably eats it.
He walked really quickly to that aisle.
He was doing his grocery shopping
for
the week.
And then walked really quickly out. And that was it. And he had a knapsack. He had, like, a reusable, like, knapsack bag.
Oh, to interview this man.
Maybe
where
he was the ghost.
What? Oh, for sure.
Maybe he was this ghost. And he was like, shit, I need more cat food.
What grocery store was it?
It was up in Newburyport, so it definitely wasn't.
Was it like a market basket?
Yeah, it was a market basket.
Oh, that would suck to be a market basket ghost.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, man.
Top 10 worst places
on
the
planet. No, because it'd be pretty fun to see the food come alive.
I'm going to breeze right past that one.
Dude. Sausage Party was
I am aware.
It was a non-fiction movie, dude.
Yeah. Where they had a food orgy at the end.
Yeah. Again, non-fiction, bro. Oh, man. But yeah, so definitely a vibe that I don't want to be a part of. Trench coat ghosts.
Yeah, or trench coats in general.
Say no to trench coats.
Yeah. Because... One of two things is going to happen. One of them, I'm not even going to say. You can guess.
The guy's naked underneath.
Well, that's the other one. The other one is, he's a flasher.
Yes.
The guy at Market Basket sounds like he was a flasher.
Maybe?
All the way zipped up, so you couldn't see what he was wearing underneath.
I don't know. Why was he running to
the cat food? He had a hat on, because he eats cat food. Yeah. That's his meals. Because he's fucking
weird.
So he
can flash more. Gives him the most optimal energy for dong showing.
So he will unzip. He'll meow. And then his signature is he leaves an open can of cat food.
After he flashes.
Yeah, yeah. He just leaves it there. So that when the cops come, they're like, damn it. The cat food flasher hit again.
Yep. Oh, man. That's hilarious. All right, we're a little sidetracked, so let's get back.
A little, yeah.
And then the other kind of interesting one is that Stephen King actually used the Parker House as inspiration for a couple of his short stories, most notably 1408, which is about a haunted hotel room.
So, dumb question. Stephen King is The Shining, right?
Yes.
A lot of hotels.
Yeah, he likes hotels.
Involved in his writings.
Yeah. And, like, nice hotels, too.
Yeah, really nice hotels.
Well, my guess is I think he just, like, goes to those hotels, stays for a while, and then uses it as, like, an influence.
The Stanley's, like, towards the top of my bucket list, not even just for the ghosts. Yeah, it just looks nice.
It's like, up in Colorado, right?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Estes Park.
Gotcha.
Like, I don't know how nice the rooms are, but, like, just the, like, landscape around it just seems vibe. Really nice.
Cool.
So, cool. It's up there for me.
Nice. All right, what do you think? Haunted or nah?
I like Parker, Chuck Parker. So I'm going to say it's haunted because I'm going based on vibes today. I went based on
the
vibes of the Lady in Black, which were badass.
Yeah.
And then I'm going off of the vibes of Charles D. Parker, which is he just seems fun.
Gotcha.
Because he's from Boston.
Also, wait. I don't think his name was Charles D. Parker. I think you're mixing up, like, Charles Dickens. It was It was Harvey D. Parker.
Harvey D. Parker.
Yeah.
Yes. I like Harvey D. Parker.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And you like Chuck Dickens, too?
Chucky Dicks.
Chucky Dicks. Chunky Dicks.
Chunky Dicks.
Oh, jeez. All right. Yeah, I agree. I'm going haunted. I think there's a lot of shit going on here. This would be a fun one to spooky.
It'd be worth asking if we could, like, set up a cot in 303.
A spooky sleepover? I definitely don't want to stay in 303, but I'll stay in a different room and we can go, like, roam the halls with GoPros mounted to our head.
Or we could stay in 303 because that's...
It's a storage room, dude. They're definitely not going to let us stay there.
Slip the guy a 50.
Yeah, okay. Oh, man. I you know what? I think just any room would suffice. I'd be down for it. So, we'll definitely add that
to the list. We'll find the floor with the most activity.
Guess what? We just got a fucking... The third floor.
Let's do the third floor.
We got to get out there. We got to do something. We've talked a lot of game about, like, getting out there.
It wouldn't be hard, dude. No. We live in fucking, like, the mecca of a lot of paranormal shit.
Yes.
Like, we could go to the Hawthorne, we could go to the Merchant, we could go to cemetery.
Any of these places.
I'm down. I'm game.
Cemetery one would be free, too.
Yeah. I'm game.
We should just do that. Literally, you can
Is it legal?
You almost can see the Charter Street Cemetery from this window.
I can see Russia from my house.
Yeah. No, but, I mean, we wouldn't need to go inside Charter Street. Like, we don't have to hop the fence. We can just, like, stand at the edge.
That's kind of lame.
I mean, I don't really want to break the law. I feel like we're too old to get arrested at this point.
That's fair. But I feel like we could find a legal way to do it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, I know people do it, so there's got to be a way to do it.
I mean, maybe, I think you just need special permission, probably, to go in at night.
Figure it out. But yeah, I think, I agree. I think we should.
Yeah.
I think we should find something. And
dude, the cemetery by my parents' house, there was devil worshippers that used to practice in that cemetery.
So that's your nightmare?
Yeah, no. Fuck that, dude.
So you wouldn't probably go there at night?
No, definitely not. I grew
so
up across.
So why are you even telling me, dude? That just tempted me so much. Now I want to go.
Oh, man. Crazy shit, dude. Alright, well, this was a Boston episode of Spirits on Spirits.
Wicked, wicked haunted kid.
Wicked spooky, dude. Wicked spooky. So, I mean, that's all I got.
Follow us on socials and send in your personal stories to spiritsonspiritspod@gmail.com.
Absolutely. Yeah, we are big fan. Or, again, just DM us. Like, put them... Slide into our DMs, you know what I'm saying? Just shoot us a little DM, say what's up. I got some spooky shit going down, you feel, dog?
For sure,
dude. We appreciate you all. We love you. Stay spooky.
Stay spooky.
Peace.